Yeah, I mean, I think like Atlanta feels weird when you discover or when you realize that it's in Georgia. Houston feels like it's in Texas.
Yeah,
that's the difference. It's like if you go 10 miles outside of Atlanta, you feel like you went like 50 years
back in time.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
But if you go deep into Houston, you still know you in Texas, you know, like,
right.
And
fair.
If you know, you know. I'm not going to be explicit. But this week, I'm going to try to keep us out of trouble. You're welcome.
Okay, wow. Let's get Pablo in trouble. Pablo, of the day.
Oh, yes. Question of the day. So I asked Alabaster and some other producers before because it's Elle's birthday this week. So
I began
to sing her the best happy birthday song ever, which is Pablo.
The Stevie Wonder version.
Exactly.
Of
sure. And now that so you got through level one. Now I'm
Can we get sued by? I know we can do happy birthday generically. Will we get sued if we go the happy birthday?
You get 10
nice
seconds.
Try.
Ooh, that is not how that song
nice
goes.
Nice try.
Pablo.
Okay. Oh, wow. So, nice okay. try on distracting me from getting to the actual question, but I'm not falling for it with your bad. I already tweeted it with your bad singing. But the more important question was, who did Stevie Wonder write that song for?
Oh boy.
Or for whom?
For whom?
Yes.
Oh no!
I told you he didn't know.
I told you he didn't know.
You gotta guess.
Wait, listen. Here's why. Because he only knows the happy birthday. If I sing the first couple of lines,
nope.
can I do that out
no
Oh wait. Yeah, give me a clue. Hold on, wait. I wanna hear Elle sing 10 seconds of legally sanctioned.
I
wanted his bad guess. It was gonna be so much better.
Give your guess.
All right. Michael Jackson.
Oh God. Like literally the exact opposite. Oh my God. Okay.
For the podcast,
Here's how it goes. You ready, Pablo? You know it doesn't make much sense. There ought to be a law against anyone who takes offense at a day in your celebration. Think about that.
I just want to concoct.
Jackson.
I just want to concoct some way that we can force Elle to sing every show. It makes me happy. Show all your many talents.
Force is a verb that does not need
think
to
about
be
what
used.
I just said.
Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't
allow
make any sense.
Allow Elle to do what she really wants to do.
Think about it. Exactly. I'm really just out here auditioning for American Idol, you guys. think about it, what I just said, Pablo.
Nah, he can't.
It doesn't make any sense that anyone would take offense about a day in your celebration.
Is he singing for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior?
Oh my God.
It's not a
MLK,
Christmas song.
Pablo, MLK, Pablo.
I'm just saying, people are taking the Christ out of Christmas all the time. Maybe this is the real song that
Pablo's jeans have gone from his jeans to his actual mouth, Pablo.
Yes,
it's out of control.
Yes, Pablo's jeans.
It's Good Friday.
It's for MLK. He made this song when there was people petitioning against having an MLK day. So this was actually a sign of protest that people, yes.
Is that you?
He did. It.
You believe that?
Yes, he did it.
You believe that that song is a better birthday song than 2 Chainz's birthday song?
I do not.
2 Chainz.
I still believe in 2 Chainz.
How does that one go? Give us 10 seconds.
He's just so clear about what he wants. All I want for my birthday is a
that one.
Yes. When I die, bury me inside the Louis store. Come on. When I die, bury me inside the Gucci store. Let's go.
Oh, man.
He's just telling you what he wants, and I love a man that knows what he wants.
All right. Do we have to do a show? Oh, breaking
news.
Oh,
whoa. Breaking news.
Ew, is that your breaking news alert?
It's scary. It feels like
a trucker.
Lockdown time in a local penitentiary.
Yeah.
It's like the sound that they make when a fight has broken out. That is to let
the
everyone know.
The guards are rushing.
Everyone knows.
Spread them.
Chest against the wall, hands up. Everyone
assume me a position.
I'm swallowing my weapons right now. I'm jamming them into orifices. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Okay. Took it too far.
That was too far? Okay.
Yeah. You really shivved us with that joke. Before I read this breaking news, Elle and Dominique, I don't think your tweets have gone through. So please tweet the show.
You're right. My tweet did not go through because I got too hype. Here we go. I was too hype about singing.
It's out there.
How is this what the music is where we wait?
I feel like we're losing the credibility of our prison siren if we go so quickly and easily back to the smooth jazz.
I like it's really,
there it is. Thank
I
you.
Like that we are currently in a white collar prison elevator. It's like the elevator in a white collar prison. A fight broke out, which is really just some harsh words.
Right, exactly. You know what? You're poor.
They use the P word.
He said the P word.
Oh, everyone back to their suites. Back to your suites.
Oh, man.
I bet your portfolio is not even diversified.
What? How dare you? I believe in diversity.
All right. First topic. Here's our breaking news.
Oh, Lord.
Charlie's already over it.
Per ESPN, Paul George has entered health and safety protocols and will miss tonight's play-in game versus the Pelicans. And
damn. I think
that begs a couple interesting questions. One, are we done with the Clippers this season? And two, we're 3 years into this Paul George and Kawhi experience. Where does that all stand with all they've given up?
Okay.
We're done with the Clippers. Were before, we in on yeah, the Clippers?
Well, hold on. Before we condemn the entire enterprise of Los Angeles Clippers, let's deal with what this means for this game and why this isn't why I yell damn in a genuine way, right? Because Paul George just had 34-7-5. He had been out for the vast majority of the season, came back, has been awesome, right? The Clippers unfortunately did lose to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who celebrated that game, that play-in game. Like, it was, in fact, their birthday and Christmas all rolled into one. And here, in fact, is Paul George disappearing from the entire thing because, presumably, health and safety protocols is the euphemism du jour, of course, for COVID-related stuff.
Right.
So
we believe him to be vaccinated because he's been playing in Los Angeles, which has right. been one of the stricter places when it comes to vaccination. So, I mean, at least we aren't in a place where I've been guilty of it also. We aren't in a place of like piling on this player for being stupid or being reckless or whatever, putting his own beliefs ahead of the team. So like, I gotta be honest with you. I don't care much about this. Like the NBA season has finally started. Like we all the preseason is finally over and we have games that people care about and are gonna play in full tilt. And you know, the Clippers are not one of those teams who are realistic title contenders. Kawhi's been injured all the time. Yes, the Clippers have underachieved for what we thought they had. It's pretty sad for all 13 Clippers fans. The end.
Yeah, I actually think they overachieved by that metric, right? Like you saw Alabaster just put it up. Paul George has missed 51 games. Kawhi hasn't played at all. The fact that they were even in a position to win, you know, the play-in game or be in the playoffs right. is kind of miraculous to me.
T-Lou.
I think it makes the Lakers look worse. It's like, God, this is your king?
That is true.
I actually love this, right? I love this more for the Pelicans though, than I hate it for the Clippers. Like the idea that CJ McCollum would come to a team, and I did it too. I was like, what the hell are the Pelicans thinking? Like, what? Do I think they're going to go anywhere even if they make it? No, I think they're going to get mollywopped by the Suns, but I love this for them. The city's excited. They're a city that has been waiting for someone to like be there and to choose them.
I'm sorry. Al, I'm not gonna allow you to do this. Do not do the Sports Center thing of trying to make something important that's not actually important.
I'm with Al. I like it for CJ McCollum.
New Orleans don't give a damn about the Pelicans.
Dominique. So historically,
listen,
of
their
course,
Saints are spiraling, bro. Of course they don't historically. They're not the Celtics. I'm not comparing them. But go ahead, Pablo.
I watched that Pelicans game. They had the whole, like, everybody in all red loving it. And maybe it's because they're desperate because the Saints are so terrible right now. But it was lit, objectively. It was unbelievable, you know, as an atmosphere.
You ex-player snobs. You guys are such snobs about this. It's like you guys judge people based on like
right.
the depth of their 90%. Love and like how long it's been. So the hell what? I don't care if they had to walk around and hand out tickets for free. The point is the Smoothie King Center was popping. It's a team that we forgot existed. We've only talked about them.
Stop it. You stop it. How dare you imply that I have some sort of problem with a one-night stand of fanhood? I am completely down with y'all coming and doing all your fancy tricks for one night. You don't have to love me in the future, and we don't have to have a long-term relationship. But the idea that there are a bunch of, like, Pelicans fans that have been waiting for this.
I said the city is excited. I said the city's excited.
Okay, my bad. I apologize.
How did you?
I created a straw man.
I did not say people are now naming their kids. CJ. I just said they're excited.
Can you let me finish? Can you let me finish deconstructing the straw man that I've created? Thank you. New Orleans don't give a damn. New Orleans like to party. And Pablo, saying that the Saints suck is a bold-faced lie. They need a quarterback, but outside of that, they don't suck. And aside from that, no,
aside
I mean,
aside from the fact that they need a quarterback, or really letting you do that, I was on board with nominating L as the smoothie queen. Can we get back to that?
Okay, let's do that. L, and now talk about.
I do sound like I'm on. I do sound like I'm on the tourism.
What an opportunity! Seriously, CJ McCollum is awesome. 32-7-6 had 27 in the first half. The Smoothie King Center is like. Okay, objectively the worst name in professional sports that an arena has ever been given.
False. That's,
it's so bad, it's good. It's like a pub.
Exactly, but now we judo move the awfulness. We elect a smoothie king and queen, and that building continues to get absolutely hammered before the game, and they roll in and vomit up their feelings everywhere. I want this for New Orleans.
Okay, but New Orleans doesn't want it for New Orleans. Like, let's stop pretending that New Orleans actually cares. They're looking for a party, and if the Pelicans lose, guess what New Orleans going to do? They still going to party. It's fine.
Yep.
Like, that is true. This is a slight distraction from the travesty that has been the Zion Williams experience in New Orleans, so that's unfortunate. At some point, maybe he'll be healthy or small enough or whatever we're blaming this on to actually be the future Hall of Famer that his talent suggests he could be. And then maybe New Orleans will, maybe they'll care, but he's probably going to force his way to New York anyway, where people already actually care about the basketball team.
Well, speaking of like the waiting for someone to show up and save everyone, to go back to the Clippers at the very end here, like Kawhi Leonard had this all gamed out, okay? Kawhi Leonard didn't play at all for the entire season, right? Has basically disappeared from the face of the planet, and there had been rumors that he was going to come back in the first round of the actual playoffs. And so Paul George getting, as we believe him to have gotten, the virus.
My wife just crawled.
Yeah, what's going on?
She just crawled behind me like a cat burglar because she didn't want to be in the scene.
I'm trying to declare that Kawhi Leonard was waiting in the wings to come back and crash the NBA postseason, and Ashley is catwomaning.
Crashing a shot. Yeah, I love
she is because she needed to get
method.
To the, urgently needed to get to the basement refrigerator.
She like Kawhi Leonard, was trying to sneak underneath the camera. And avoid detection.
She's making a ruckus. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Right, well, we heard
see,
the
this
yeah,
is,
it's her
this
house.
Is,
she can do whatever she wants in her house.
Further proof that nobody cares about the Pelicans or the Clippers. Can we get to some real basketball now? And this time, just straight disrespect.
There she goes. Hey, girl.
Who is she carrying? What's with that bowl?
It's a giant. It's a
big
ass bowl.
Are you popping champagne on
are
a Friday
afternoon?
It's a big ass bowl. No.
Can you attack?
No.
Can you adopt me?
Sound meditation?
She is the carrying on her family's rich biscuit-making history. So everyone in the family really likes the biscuits that her grandmother used to make. She's the only one who makes them that way. So we have a big-ass bowl so she can make enough biscuits for all of her carbo-loading family. Can we get to some basketball, please?
Oh, I love it. Tangent.
How am I talking about
it.
Them? Do they carbo-load or not? Yes, they carbo-load.
All I want for my birthday is a big-ass bowl, incidentally.
Yes. When I die, bury me next to my big-ass bowl. When I die.
I really want to talk about basketball. This
all
is
right,
what I
all
care
right.
about. This
all
is
right,
what
fine.
All right,
all
we're right. going to go on Great. To the 76ers. And the man with the most pressure on him in the postseason, by all accounts, is James Harden. And our question, as he's looked gimpy and not the same James Harden, but he's playing with the best player he's played with since early in his career, or last year with Durant, our question, what's fair to expect from James Harden this postseason?
So the pressure thing that Alabaster just alluded to is instructive here, because James Harden, I mean, look, the ways you talk about pressure as an NBA player, like, there is a way to do this. Steven Jackson once famously said, quote, "I make love to pressure," end quote. That is what people want to hear. You get it up. When it is,
and then you fumbled it too.
I was gonna say, get it up.
You have to nail it.
You can't. His name is Harden. You this is a thing that you cannot do in this situation. James Harden is fine, and there are many ways
to rise to the occasion.
I mean,
but this is what he said. Look, Dominic, this is what he said.
Jackson, there are other euphemisms I would use in that situation that would inspire more confidence, because it ain't gonna be gentle. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, the pressure situation, like, that's a different euphemism I would use. I'm not going to use it right now because I'm determined to not get us in trouble this week.
There it is. But
I
James
don't
Harden,
want Alabaster to get another email because of something I did. Sorry, Allie.
I agree. But what James Harden is doing is declaring himself a pressure eunuch. Right? The very opposite. Oh, here's his quote.
Help us, help
us. I'm ready to hoop. There's nothing to it. He doesn't feel the pressure, L, is what James Harden is declaring before this postseason.
Oh, God.
I'm going to need a stiff drink after this.
You're supposed to help.
So, obviously, he's under pressure, right? I think, especially if the Nets excel, just because you force your way out of, like, it's like, I don't want to play with the best basketball player in the world. I want to go to Philly. No offense. It's just like, you know, listen, Joel Embiid is fantastic. I think the biggest issue for the Sixers, I think Joel Embiid is fantastic. But so you're choosing Joel Embiid over Kevin Durant? Stop it, y'all.
Nope.
Exactly, stop. But the problem is that James Harden has been a great, facilitator like he always is. He's been a great playmaker, but his scoring hasn't been that great. And that's always been the missing link for Philly, right? You guys needed like a legitimate second score, which is why it was not.
We need to not be traumatized, Elle. Let's just make it very
But the
simple.
Problem, Pablo, just but here's the problem. Let me ask you this as a Sixer fan. Let me ask you this as a Sixer fan, right? Because James Harden scores a lot more when he does not share the court with Joel Embiid. So how are you figuring that out? How are you making that work?
So here I think is the actual problem right now. It's that James Harden and Joel Embiid together are actually amazing. That starting lineup is smashing people. Alabaster puts down a card very conveniently here. Outscoring opponents by 20.2 points per 100 possessions. That's Harden, Embiid, Harris, Maxey, and Dribble. So this is where the panic sets in, right? So beyond the James Harden crapping the California King size bed that is the NBA playoffs ritualistically, what Matisse Thybulle has done, catch you up here. He actually didn't. I mean, can someone else explain this? I actually get angry just even trying to explain what happened.
Thybulle got one vaccine shot. He didn't get the second vaccine shot. He's not fully vaccinated, so he cannot play in the country of Canada. But I honestly think even if he plays, I think they are in big trouble because the lineup that you pointed out is an effective one. But I'm not sure. Like, I feel like the length and athleticism that the Raptors have is going to be a problem for Joel Embiid for the course of an entire series. And Joel Embiid has already acknowledged that the way that they play him, they're going to double team him and double or triple team him and force him to pass it to someone else to make things happen. That someone else is James Harden, who you just suggested can't score like he used to. That someone else is not going to be Matisse Thybulle. He's a defensive guy. It's going to have to be somebody like Tyrese Maxey or something like that. And that's the problem. Over the course of a long series, you need your best player to hold up. And Embiid has not held up throughout the course of the playoffs in recent history. And also in this particular case, he's going to have to run and chase 6'7", 6'8", guys on the defensive end of the floor because the Raptors' best lineup is a small ball lineup that does not involve a big plotting center for Embiid to defend on the other end of the floor.
Yeah, Pascal Siakam is the key to the Raptors. He's excellent. He's a fellow Cameroonian. Like, the whole thing with Embiid, I mean, and this is the trauma. Like, you co-host SportsCenter with Kevin Agandi, right? This is a long-held trauma, what the Raptors have done to the Sixers, right? This is the team that, the season. But also just, like, when they won the title, the Raptors did.
The tears.
It was that bounce, into the basket, overtime loss, Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, hurt, being shut down, crying.
Yeah, there he is.
There is the montage, in short. And so they don't fear Embiid. I would hope that this version of Embiid is a different one. He is arguably, at the very least, one of the two MVP candidates. He is a guy who will be targeted. Like, the Raptors are going to aim to shut down Embiid. They're going to make James Harden beat them. And that is where I hope that however James Harden interacts with pressure, it is more like the Dominique school of lovemaking.
Never mind. I was about to get in trouble, but I'm not. I'm going to focus on the hope for the 76ers is that the Raptors also have, like, they play at a slower pace, like with their best lineup, I think. The tallest person on that lineup is Siakam, who is 6'8". Like, that's the tallest person on their most productive lineup. Yet, they still have one of the slowest paces in the league. I think they are slightly slower, or maybe slightly faster, but they're around the 76ers' pace. So I think that Nick Nurse, like, the decisions that Nick Nurse makes And we all know, like, playoff basketball is a little bit slower half court wise, but I think they have to push the pace. They have to play differently in this situation, differently than they have throughout the course of this season in this situation to challenge Joel Embiid, because while he is one of the most athletic and coordinated big men, doing it for the course of seven games is a lot to ask for somebody like that.
So, L, you're working your shoulders right now, and I want
to talk about... Because I'm so excited to hit you with it. No, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to hit you very quickly as we wrap this topic up with a nonsensical SportsCenter fun fact and see if you can name the other.
Love
ready?
Okay. Fun fact.
The Sixers are the fourth team in NBA history to have a 30-point per game score and a teammate with 10 assists per game in a season. However, none of the previous three duos ever won a playoff series. Can you name those? Of course, Joel Embiid and James Harden are the one this year. Can you name the other three?
Hell no.
What, you threw a however in there. Yeah. I don't even remember what the first half. So a 30-point score and a 10-assist
30-point per game score and a guy on the same team that averages 10 assists per game. But they, no, not a title. Didn't win a playoff series.
Oh, that's ugly.
Yeah,
oh, that's ugly.
There's I got no chance.
Yes.
Give us both the answer, because it's going to be bad fake television if we just start guessing.
Is it Martin Luther King
Jr.? Bradley Beal and Russell?
No.
Is it Gandhi? Is it Nelson Mandela? It's 2021, Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook.
Oh, never would have even thought.
You're never
going to
guess
them.
The most, if I give you the hint of like the most hated playoff duo of all time from the 90s, 80s, 90s.
Most hated.
Everybody hates them. Everyone hates them.
But didn't win a playoff series.
Yeah.
Yes, didn't win a playoff series. In the year that they averaged 30 and the other averaged 10.
I don't know.
Most hated, but didn't win a playoff.
Malone and Stockton.
Oh, everybody hates
Malone and Stockton. Oh. And the other one you'll never get. The other one, Wilt Chamberlain and Guy Rogers.
Guy Rogers is a fake person you just invented.
He's a pop star from the 50s. Guy Rogers came out with that bubblegum track.
1962 season.
Yeah, Guy Rogers.
You think he talked like this too, you see?
Guy Rogers. Pomade in his hair.
He stole music from blues singers and resold it as pop music and made a ton of money before disappearing. Have we expended this? Is Nick Nurse going to go coach the Lakers after they win the series? Is there anything else to talk about here?
I mean, it is sad that the Sixers have not reached the conference finals since 2001. It is also sad, by the
way. Scotty Barnes is really good and young.
Scotty Barnes is excellent. Rookie of the Year candidate for the Raptors. What I will say about what is actually on the line beyond the actual, like, let's all make fun of James Harden, and I'm shocked, Alabaster, that you have not put on the ascendingly expanded James Harden cutouts while we've been discussing this topic.
You're calling for it.
But cutout is a metaphor for the contract that James Harden is about to sign pretty much no matter what this offseason. Because Daryl Morey, and again, this is Daryl, right? This is Daryl loving this man in all of his breadth more than anyone else. And he's about to sign him to a contract that's almost $300 million in total. A supermax deal that will pay him like $50 million by age 38. Like, the Sixers, regardless of whether they like it or not, are going to have this gentleman in whatever form he shows up in the postseason for a very long time for a lot of money. So
I think a fair criticism,
God bless,
of Daryl Morey has been, or fair criticism of those who follow Daryl Morey, is they kind of subtract the emotional and personal things out of the game in favor of numbers. And that's how you find James Harden on
a
bench. Yeah, and you find James Harden on a bench and turn him into one of the – or an MVP candidate. However, it's ironic that that same emotion is going to lead him to making a bad decision this offseason, because anybody who's ever spent a minute in a finance class knows that about the sunk cost fallacy. And they have sunk costs right now in the trade that they made to acquire James Harden. Tying yourself to him for multiple years, given what we've seen, unless he's just been like dogging it until he gets to the playoffs, we see something different. That is an obvious huge mistake.
So two things. Number one, do you give up on James Harden is the question. I'm not saying yes. And so for that reason, I don't think it's automatically stupid to re-sign him to a giant extension. Number two, as soon as you said sunk cost fallacy, L. Duncan literally just yawned for like three straight seconds.
That's the point.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I feel like we're still only talking about this because Pablo's a Sixers fan. Like, honestly, if James Harden
Kevin Negandhi, I feel your pain. Doesn't get signed, I feel your pain, man. I know what your life is like now. I get it.
Not for that catchy ass phrase, I don't think people would pay any attention anyway. I'm just saying, you guys, like,
you're welcome. 2001. It's all me.
2001. What in the hell? You guys are so overhyped. You're like the Anna Kournikova of basketball. Like, you just seem hot, but you don't win anything. It's like, why are we still talking about you? I'm sorry. Philadelphia already hates me so much. My mom's always like, you can't go to Philadelphia. You are. You know, remember in the early 2000s, you'd look up and you'd be like, yeah, there she is in another music video. And you'd be like, wait, has this chick won anything? Like, why are we still talking about her?
Selling watches. She had all the deals.
Yes.
No dubs.
Oh, all the deals. I want you to not get beat by Kevin Herter in a playoff.
Hey, okay. Hey, we are not here for Herter disrespect. This man's a damn turtle.
I mean, I love Red Velvet, but I'm just saying, like, you guys, you know, you guys were processing turtle. When Red Velvet was in high school. How long you processing, Pablo? You gotta throw the computer away, yo.
I did not. First off, I will never throw my computer away. I will never throw my computer away. It's still loaded. It is still loaded.
Ooh, remember that?
Force quit. Okay, you gotta force quit.
How did you just compare the Sixers to Anna Kournikova to gas up Kevin Herter? How did we get to that? I was watching him play and almost vomited.
Let me take you on a journey.
Almost vomited this week watching that dude drop 20 in a playing
the
game.
Duncan experience. Why would you vomit? It's the Duncan experience.
There's nothing
he's
to throw
the
up.
Worst.
Outstanding.
The worst.
Remember when you guys thought
any
that?
Sense that he's good.
You thought that Tobias Harris was like the answer. I feel like
right, and gave him $700 million.
I did not think he was the answer.
I mean,
terrible
generally,
contract.
It was presented as he's like the answer. He's going to take. The, like, it was like a
Allen Iverson.
Three.
Yeah.
He is now the answer.
Yes.
Okay. God. Albastri, get us out of here.
Okay.
Only inappropriate Anna Kournikova jokes.
I did just burst out laughing thinking about the fact that the 76ers did choose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. So thank you for reminding me of that. But we can move on. And this is the series that I actually do find fascinating. And I want to know your take on this. Who do you see advancing? The Celtics, who have been the best team in the Eastern Conference since January, or the Nets, who have an offensive savant in Kyrie Irving and probably the best basketball player alive, maybe the best offensive basketball player of all time in Kevin Durant?
So the Nets won their play-in game, and after the game was kind of given away insofar as Bruce Brown goes to the podium and says, man, Robert Williams is hurt for the Celtics. Like, we're going to go at them directly in ways that they're not going to be ready for. And then Kevin Durant follows him immediately after, and the Bruce Brown quote was explicitly, them not having Robert Williams is huge. We can attack Tice and Horford in the paint, end quote. Kevin Durant follows him on the podium and says, what the hell did Bruce Brown say? Like, no, we don't do that. We don't disrespect our opponent like that. Oh, it's what he, but L, KD was like, I don't want our opponents feeling like they know what we feel about them. And
sure, yeah, don't poke the bear.
And the Nets, I am picking in this series for literally the reason that Bruce Brown said. So I give me the Nets, but well, I think mean, how that comment changes things is fascinating to me.
Don't people think Robert Williams is coming back at some point in this series, or you just you think
maybe
it's not
game
be
six,
a
maybe
full,
game six,
maybe game six?
You don't think it'd be a full version of Robert Williams? Like, I don't know. I think that the only argument for the Nets is that Kevin Durant has switched it on, which it looks like he did in the Cavs game. Because they need Kevin Durant's defense as much as they need his offense. And making a long run in the playoffs is unlikely for this team. Not because, like, depth is overrated, I think, in NBA playoffs. But, like, lineup flexibility is something that is not overrated. And they don't have that. They don't have much flexibility at all because they traded much of it away. And if Curry's not going to be healthy, like, Kevin Durant's going to have to protect the rim like he did in that Cavs game and also score like Kyrie was scoring. It just seems like too much to ask against a team that is really excellent defensively and has some of the only people in the league that can reasonably give Kevin Durant trouble, like really athletic long wings that play good perimeter defense. Kevin's still going to go for 30 plus, but it's going to be a hard 30 plus.
Which I is love different. The caveat. No, because Dominique is doing the thing that you have to do where you say reasonably can stop, and then you're like, but it'll score 30.
But yeah, I mean.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I in the playoffs, right? Like, he almost single-handedly, like, won them the right. playoff game, like last year, right?
Yes,
like, I think,
yes.
right against the Bucks. Like, I think that when it comes to the playoffs, it's, like, it's about matchups, right? Right. Who is your biggest star? Who's my biggest star, right? And when you match up Jason Tatum, who is fantastic, it's unfair to compare him to Kevin Durant, but I'm always going to give it to Kevin Durant. And even if you look at their second guys, I'm going to give it to Kyrie Irving. So if you look at their third guys right now, it is tough for the Nets. That's the wild card. It's Bruce Brown right now. Yeah. You know, he's sort of been a really, like, he's been
Bruce
like a
Brown,
pesky
triple
defender.
Double in that play.
Yeah, again. Like he's exactly. He's spotty and he can double. Be streaky. No, what I'm saying, but like so and against their third guy, which is Marcus Smart, I would probably give it to Marcus Smart just because of the consistency, the experience, all of those things.
I think
I just think it's the Nets.
I
like,
get your point.
I also wonder if the Celtics will have played two games in 15 days. Like you could say that's a lot of rest. You could also say maybe they get out of rhythm, right? For a team that had been playing really well. I don't know. I just think it's on any given day, if you throw the ball up, I'm giving it to Kevin Durant. Like until he shows me that he can do it.
That's what my heart says too. However, the point why I said can like reasonably guard them is it means that you don't have to double team. And while Kevin Durant and Kyrie both might score over 30, they won't score 60. They won't get in the lane at will because of Marcus Smart, who is an excellent defender, and Jaylen Brown or even Jason Tatum because they're excellent perimeter defenders. Like that's the point I'm making is yes, they're still going to score, but it will not break your defense. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
If someone else is playing, if you're playing a team that does not have Smart or doesn't have Brown or these type of guys, then you are put in a situation that you have to double or you have to help a lot more often. And that breaks the rest of your defense, forcing Bruce Brown to have wide open shots. In this scenario, you're going to have Bruce Brown shooting shots that are contested, assuming that they don't have to double. And to me, if you think you're going to win on contested shots from the other guys, good damn luck. And if Jason Tatum keeps cooking like he's cooking, it's hard for me to imagine a situation where the Celtics don't win this, and then they're going to get Time Lord back game 4 or 5. Like it.
Well, so look, the defense of the Celtics, especially since 2022 started, has been pretty much the best in the league, right? Jaylen Brown is excellent. Marcus Smart is excellent. Robert Williams, Time Lord aforementioned, is the skeleton key that makes everything work. I think without him, they're going to have to do things that they haven't done in a while in a really difficult circumstance against two of the best scorers that the NBA has ever seen. So I don't think it's as much of like schematically, is there a solution? It's just, do you hope that yes, Kyrie Irving does not stomp on the iconography of Lucky the Leprechaun and therefore trigger the entirety of the city of Boston in the process of doing it. Like that's the other.
When they win this year, I wonder what he'll do. Will he like crip walk along it? Will he ragtop across it? Like what will he do this time?
I've been talking about this rivalry and why I love it so much and how it's rooted primarily in the fact that it's a rivalry rooted in the fact that someone like stepped on a cartoon picture of a magical old man.
Correct.
And the Boston Celtics faithful are furious that I have seemingly erased the real reasons why they hate Kyrie Irving, because it goes beyond that, of course. It goes beyond this. It goes to him quitting allegedly on the team, saying he'll resign with the team and then not doing it at that season ticket holder event. It goes back to Billy King trading all of his picks to the Celtics, making the Nets disappear fundamentally. I just want to be clear about something. I never want to live in a world where sports doesn't have people believing insane shit like this. The idea that you guys, that Kevin Garnett and Big Baby Davis threatened to fight Kyrie Irving because he stepped on Lucky the Leprechaun, that is, please literally never change. Never change.
It's insane. It's insane. It's like, whenever, like, who did Baker Mayfield pissed off when they were like, he planted our flag on the logo? It's like, so what?
I mean, college is reasonable.
Dominique, no, but L, this is the point. I love that there are teams in the NBA that treat this like it's legitimately tribal affiliation.
Sure.
It is college so in some sense.
Yeah.
And it's absurd, and I don't want it to go away. So just know I'm not condescending to you if you are triggered by this, Alabaster. I'm merely saying that it's ridiculous and I want more of it.
No, no, I too love all trolling of crazy sports fans. But I actually have a question. I have a stat first and a question that comes off of it. So since Kyrie Irving became a full-time player, he is taking 22.2 shots per game to Durant's 20.7. Does any part of you think that Kyrie playing like he is the first option on this team and shouldering more of an offensive burden than Durant can be a negative for them? Obviously, he is awesome. They're awesome together. But does that pecking order of KD being the first option need to be in place for them to, you know, realize their potential?
Nope.
If you think that Kevin Durant is looking at stat lines going, he averages 2 buckets more than me a game. If he cares about stuff like that, then they're not going to win a championship no matter who the hell they play.
I don't think that the point is that he cares about it as much as it is if the best offensive player we've ever seen is not the person getting the most shots, then we have a problem. Like, I think that basic argument is a reasonable one. But the fact of the matter is Kyrie offers them very little to nothing on defense, except for that one game against James Harden. Kevin Durant has to be able to be a rim protector. So, like, Kyrie is going to have to take some of that offensive load. So I think the best way to win is to lean on Kyrie on one end of the floor and then lean on Kevin Durant a little bit more on the other end of the floor. But we all know it's a game winner needs to be taken. There is no question who's going to get the ball. That's, I mean, when they do that isolation at the end of the game for the final couple shots that all teams do, or they do some sort of high pick and roll or something like that, the person with the ball making the decisions and shooting the shots is going to be KD, which is all that really matters.
So it is going to be KD, but it's important to remember, I mean, Alabaster, this is where I feel like Kyrie taking a ton of shots. As long as he's just playing well, I don't care. I don't care if he's shooting that much. I mean, Kyrie Irving at the end of games, keep in mind, he is the guy who, like, won the NBA Finals, draining a three, spotting it up, ISO over, you know, over the Warriors, right? So, like, for me, I think the Kyrie Irving that we're getting right now is who had 34 and 12 against the Cavs in that play-in game. As long as he's doing that, I don't care about the distribution. And I don't think Kevin Durant does either.
So then basically what we're saying is irritating Kyrie.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. My God. So if you full disclosure, my Jamaican nanny just walked by and this joke formed in my head and it was terrible.
Oh gosh. I hope she's
I saw her and
too.
I was like, how do you pun?
I hope she wants to have a talk with you after.
Jamaican accent, she's like, she like smiles, but also it's like cringy. She's like, it's bad. I'm like, I know.
Guess what she tells?
I'm purposely bad. Yeah.
She talks bad about you when she gets home.
Well, probably. She probably says, you know what? I do think about that. I'm like, what does she tell her friends about me?
I'll put up with it.
She has a Chet Hanks nickname for you that you don't know about.
Yeah, no, I know she loves me. We love her too. But I do wonder if she's like how she describes me. Like, she's just like a super crazy, fun mom who's also a little bit forgetful.
That's how you want her to describe
you. And doesn't
you.
Think about I know. How do you? Oh no! Now I'm obsessed. You know what? Someone gave me great advice, and I lean on this whenever I think about things like this. Like, what are they saying about me when I'm not there? Someone said the thing about your 20s is you care about what everyone thinks about you, right? In your 30s, you don't care what people think about you or say about you, right? In your 40s, you realize no one was ever talking about you.
That's fair.
And I'm like, you know what? So I try to tell myself that. I'm like, don't let your ego get in the way. She probably doesn't talk about you at all to her friends. But if she does,
it's not
what
good.
Does she say?
It's not good.
I know.
Yeah, there's a group chat in which Elle is the protagonist that she is not in.
Oh. So what we got next, Allie?
All right, guys, let's pivot to some football. Last topic for you guys. Weird. The Cardinals and Kyler Murray are beefing again. This time over contract stuff. And our question, do you think Kyler Murray will get what he wants in his standoff with the Cardinals?
I mean, what he wants is a nice giant contract. What he has is a rookie contract. Fourth year, right, of that deal. About $5 million, Dominique.
Yeah, $5 million.
The question that I have for people who know football about this is the fact that his head coach and the fact that he have the same agent And all of this has been happening in this way, like exhausting every bit of public leverage unsubtly. This tells me, uninformed non-football guy, that this is bad. But yeah. I'm curious if you see this in that way for that reason.
No, because I think the head coach just changes hats, like literally puts on one hat and then puts on the other hat, and that maintains the wall between the two and the conflict of interest. It's just two separate guys based on the energy that is transferred to him through the hat that he's wearing at the time. So it's not an issue that you think, because you would assume that the one that person at the center of this wouldn't be doing this all in public if it was good, but no, it's fine. The fact that it's the same agent, I think, makes it better.
Makes it, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. It made sense in my head.
Theory?
Then I spit it out, and like I saw that it wasn't landing on you, which I'm fine with. But then I looked down at L, and I saw that I was missing L too, and that's what I knew. I was dead wrong.
I was like, this is not working.
This bit is not working. Yeah.
The bit. I mean, I guess what I love about this story, L, is that the Cardinals don't seem to know what's coming next. And that's the number one thing that I would have assumed you would get if you and your head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, had the same agent. And I just love that, like, we're getting to, let's do crazy conspiracy theories. Admittedly, that's what I'm doing right now in defense partially of Dominique. But like,
I don't need your defense. I'll wallow in my stink take because I'm going to save it soon. After you're done, Elle will say something, and then I'll come through with the hammer.
Some words. Yeah, I know. You really do. You're the closer. You're the cleanup guy. You know how to clean it up and close it.
You know how to poop yourself and then clean up the poop afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, who's the person after the surgeon is done doing all the important work that comes in and just
The janitor.
The nurse. The nurse.
I'm proud to be a janitor. Nothing wrong with that. Me and Elle's housekeeper are happy.
Okay, well, first of all,
we are more than happy to talk trash about you in our group
text. I said my nanny.
After we cleaned up after you. Oh, it's your nanny, not a housekeeper? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Brendan my Fraser, nanny. Club. Yeah. Although,
I mean,
my
technically, she's
amazing too.
Technically, she's not your nanny. Right, like,
yeah, she's my kid's nanny. Right. Fair, fair.
I want
she's
a nanny.
My best friend.
I'd love to have
a
nanny.
Is that a service that's available in a non-disgusting way?
I would love to have a nanny.
Yeah, no, it's great. Oh, it absolutely is. I stole her from the ESPN Kids Center when they shut
down.
No,
you're missing
the
point.
I was like, want to get a job? Oh, I get what you're saying. No, you don't want a nanny then. You want an au pair. No, the free ones that,
No, I
basically trade
Dominique's like, I've been very good at cleaning up my own poop, but now I need to outsource this. Yeah, this is
sustainable. Yeah. It's where you do like the swap. They have no, they don't like kids at all, but they need a place to live while they go to college.
Yep,
so
exactly.
They're just like, I'll babysit your kids, a babysitter.
France.
And live with
and there's
you.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and they live with you, yes. I did entertain that because I was like, I don't really have that much money for a nanny. But she cut me some breaks and we made it work. As you know, once you start getting kids multiple, you're like, I'll pay anything. Literally.
The group chat is on fire right now.
Oh,
the group chat that we talked about is on fire.
She's like our daughter too. She's so young. She's like 24 years old, 25 years old. So she's like, you know, basically like little sis and we, you know, try to help her with stuff. She's cute. Anyway, like taxes.
Kyler Murray.
You have to file those.
But speaking of
Kyler Murray, there we go. There it is. I was like, what are we talking about?
Well done, Pablo. Well done.
Kyler Murray. Yeah, good job, Pablo. Well, I just think that, you know, I think Kyler Murray went way too quickly to the court of public opinion and doing the deleting of the, I don't understand what any of that was for. That was unnecessary, especially when you're talking about ownership who really doesn't like to play things out in the public, right? Like at all. But when you see how much he's making and then you see how much other people are making, I love that his agent was like so clear about the fact that like the price is going up. That yesterday's price is not today's price. After we saw Derek Carr get that money, we are pulling our offer and we want more. And he should get more. Like the reason that they paid Derek Carr all that money and the reason that no one is clutching their pearls like maybe they would have 5 years ago over Derek Carr making $40 million a year is because that's sort of the market. And also we've already seen what happens when you don't have a quarterback. I mean, the Colts are just wasting away because they don't have a quarterback. Like, so the Cardinals have been doing this quarterback cycle for years now. And more than anybody, they should understand the coach can go, right? Yeah. But the quarterback, you need a quarterback. And the idea that they would get to this point with Kyler Murray seems ridiculous. Now it just seems like we've got a match of egos, right? Like, who's going to flinch first? It's going to be the Cardinals. They're going to pay him. They have to.
I think so. I mean,
there's
nothing coming.
So yeah.
It's a bad draft for a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and even if it was a good draft for a quarterback, when you have a quarterback, you don't move on from a quarterback. What it comes down to is if he can withstand this holdout, if he has the fortitude to withstand the holdout, he will absolutely get paid. So the league has changed the rules in such a way to de-emphasize every other position other than a quarterback, which makes them even more important. So when you're going to make them that important, what comes with that important is a measure of power and leverage. And Kyler Murray has that power and leverage. And so this stuff in public, while it may make us uncomfortable, it's the only tool that he has. So doing the Twitter thing got us talking about it. Or the Instagram thing, taking the pictures, it got us talking about it. And I do think that if he's able to withstand the $40,000 a day fine for skipping camp, he's able to forego the bonus that comes his way, which is, I think, $4.5 million if he doesn't show up. That's all fine because his salary is only $750,000. So he'll be able to sit out for much of the season if he can withstand all that. And I think when you put all those numbers out there, people get a little like concerned, and he also might have to forfeit $5.8 million of his signing bonus if he doesn't show up. And I could understand that we're talking about over $10 million at this point. And I could understand a player backing down and getting nervous. But one thing Kyler Murray knows is he's going to get paid at some point, and he's going to get paid big. Deshaun Watson just got $230 guaranteed. And let's say we go back a year. Dak Prescott just got almost $130 guaranteed. So that $10 million ain't looking like anything. If Kyler Murray is willing to withstand whatever like public vitriol and willing to pay back whatever fines he's going to receive, the leverage is clearly on his side.
But what is being reported about him, right? Part of the mess, part of the test of ego here, beyond the math of it, the money of it that Dominique just described, is the fact that sources are telling Chris Mortensen that Kyler Murray is, quote, described as self-centered, immature, and a finger pointer. And that part of the story, the whole, like, it doesn't seem like they really like the dude. It doesn't seem like the dude likes them. I mean, if you're Kyler, would you want out? I mean, beyond the contract idea, would you actually just want out? Is that something you'd be willing to risk at this point?
I mean, it's something that other quarterbacks have done. I think Kyler is very capable of pulling the same thing off. He's good enough that other people would want him. I'm not sure that he should want out. I think he wants to get that big payday first, which is what most quarterbacks do. But I guess the big payday could come with the trade, as we saw just happen with Deshaun Watson, as the trade is what beget the biggest payday we've ever seen in professional football. So yeah, he could pull that move, but it seems to me like this is just them negotiating through the media. I don't know if those things are true about Kyler Murray or not, but they're trying to use the pressure that they can, which is the public, the fans turning on Kyler Murray, to get him to show up and act right. But little do they know, he's the only one that's special. And like the Steve Keim, sorry, bro, you're not special. Cliff Kingsbury, you're not special. Bidwell, you're not special. He's the only one that is going to be hard to replace in this equation. Kyler Murray can find another coach that is just as good or better than Cliff Kingsbury. Same is true of the general manager and the team owner. He's the only one that is going to be hard to replace. So if he has the gumption to stick it out, they better pay him.
By the way, I assume that in that aphorism, Al, about what happens when you turn 40, you also start using the word gumption.
Oh, of course.
Yes, I love it. Yes, gumption. So
ahead I know. Of the curve, gumption. Baby. Gall. Ahead of the curve.
I say the unmitigated gall.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Wow.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Hate when things are unmitigated. Need that gall mitigated. If your gall ain't mitigated, I ain't interested. That's
correct.
What I say.
What does that even mean? Oh, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone use the word unmitigated unless it was followed by gall.
Yeah. 100%. I've never heard it. I've never heard it.
Yo, that dude's gall was mad. Yeah.
Mitigated.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm going on TV Monday and I can't wait. Someone remind me to squeeze mitigated in. Or should I go unmitigated with a different word?
Mm.
I think that we just would be mitigate.
What else would be bad to be unmitigated?
What if
that
I
you
go
would
unmitigated
use?
gumption, just to get people expecting gold.
Oh, wow. It doesn't roll off the tongue, but you could work it. The unmitigated gumption. It's a lot.
Damn.
It's guttural. You need something one syllable.
Yeah.
It also needs a G. Yeah. We've just realized guttural, gumption, and gall are all on the same wavelength. I'm in.
I think.
What about unmitigated sass?
Oh. I like. I mean, any type of sass is acceptable to me. I would like to. I think that I'm just gonna put on my AOL away message, mitigating. dot dot dot. Currently mitigating.
With the cloud, so it looks like you're just still doing it.
Yeah, and I let people figure out what's that like.
You're currently mitigating.
What the hell is he doing?
AOL away messages.
I'm mitigating my gall.
Man. All I had in my AIM away messages was straight up mitigated gall, for the record. All it was just me quoting sad songs, trying to communicate with girls on my buddy list. The gall was so deeply mitigated.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm with you. It was shameful.
I used to do that on my Skype message, and I would try to be coy at first when I was dating this dude, and I would see what his messages would say. And then, like, you know, over time, they just got really clear. It's like, you better call me mother. Before it's coy, it's just like, you know, wild horses can't be tamed and stuff like that. And after a while, it was just like,
look here.
Are you?
Look here.
Where are you, Tyrell? Yeah. Hello.
Social security number and everything.
Phone. Yeah. His address. His address. Yo, I definitely. Just warning them. Confession.
I'm out front.
Confession. I did put a dude on girldon'tdatem.com.
Oh, what?
How did we only get here at the end of the show?
No.
What? I know.
What did he do?
I don't know if it's
this?
Still a website, but it used to be a website called Girl Don't Datem. And girls would go on there. You'd be able to search a name and you'd be able to get basically like reviews. You know, it was like the Yelp for boys. And you could go on there and like people. But then, you know, over time, I realized like it's just a bunch of haters on there. Like if all of your biggest haters.
You realized that?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I was young and I was on there too. I was like, he'll do this. He'll say that. His wallet will come up missing a couple different times at dinner.
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, I was I feel on there. Like, I would definitely search.
Well, that was awfully polite of you to try to warn someone else. But I feel like Girl Don't Date Him is one of those websites that if you type it in to the URL, then you already know the answer to your question. Like no one is meeting someone that they think is cute and interesting check Girl Don't Date Them. Somebody has been left at the bar because he walked out and then went.
Can you imagine being like, you know what? I found my husband on girldon'tdatem.com. He had a 5-star review. People don't realize there are also good restaurants out there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so, Galdon.
Well done.
Well played.
Perfect
alabaster. Printer.
But see, here's the thing, and this is a real thing, and I actually talked to a lot of women about this. I was the same way. The problem is, right, like, short of back-checking these dudes, it was sort of like a background check. Because the problem is, like, I was always adamant that I wanted some kind of connection. Like, I would only date someone that knew someone that I knew so that I could get, you know, a background check on them. Like, I don't know.
Checks.
It's right. It's scary. It's scary to just, I don't know who you are. Like, I'm not coming to your house. I don't want you to come to my house. Like, what? It's weird. So I felt like that website was, at the time, I was like 23. I was like, this is an important movement to make sure that women can have like real clear information on these rando dudes. And so if you met someone randomly at a bar and he asked you on a date, you could put his name in and just see if he was on Girl Don't Date Him. The problem is it was popular for like a month, and that's not exactly how you build like a database. So nobody was ever in it. And it went by the wayside.
The good news is that GirlDateHim.com is available, according to my research. So we can rebrand this and fuel the predators of terrible.
Oh yeah. It's
has anybody ever like? I feel like going to Girl Don't Date Him is similar to like cracking someone's phone code so you can go through their phone. Like, has anyone ever gone through someone's phone and then felt better afterwards?
No, absolutely.
Like,
no.
I think you go to Girl Don't, I actually had on this is a similar thing on Bomani's podcast. I was talking to him about like discovery in these legal cases, and I feel like if I was ever sued and you could get like discovery and look at all of my emails and text messages, you could put together a case for a lot of
things.
You're
going to jail. Like, you are going to jail.
And I ain't done nothing wrong. But I mean, you could make me out to be a lot of things if you cherry pick a couple of little remarks here or there. Like, I'm thinking about some of the jokes that I send to my friends in group chats. If
or
just,
the
like,
things
cut out.
Yes.
Oh my God.
If you just like cut out a joke that I've made, you could frame it as like, this is what he meant. Like, you would definitely think I was a racist.
Well, look, like you could look at, like, I watch a lot of, like, Discovery and stuff. Like, I feel like if, and so then I'll just, like, Google because I want more information on the story or I'll forget stories. So I feel like if someone could just, like, find my search engine, they'd be so creeped out. It would be stuff like, you know, body burned beyond recognition, dumped in the forest. And it's because I'm trying to remember
a story that I
saw on Dateline, you know?
Let me tell you something that I do. When I have one of those weird searches, because we all have these searches that would get you in trouble. I write into the search, like I frame the search in a way that I feel like I could defend myself, despite the fact that I know I'm never going to defend myself. It's so bad. It's like sometimes, like, you hear a voice on a podcast, you want to see what that person looks like, and I feel creepy just searching like a random person. So like I'll search something different that I know I'm like three clicks away. To click into finding what this person looks like.
I like the idea of Dominique doing searches for terms that are only like sensible if you're in a deposition. I am not searching for an actual way to murder this person. I am searching how this person was murdered. Enter.
It's like how long does it take a body to dissolve in salt water?
I'll like watch a movie and I'll be like, that doesn't make sense. It takes a lot longer for a body to dissolve. So I'll look it up. Like, can limestone, you know, or lime, you know, dissolve a body?
No, see, that's where you messed up. That's where you messed up. First, you got to put in limestone and then just get your click on. And then you got to get your click on from limestone until you find it.
Guys,
just get your click on, L. Just click, click, click. Eventually, you'll find it. But don't put it right in there.
Just go on incognito mode next time.
Oh, like, that don't work.
That's totally, not discoverable, right?
No, it doesn't work.
Because if that isn't, I need to throw my computer out.
It's too late. They already got it in a server in Arizona somewhere.